accept that worship. The Lord accept the incense of the worship that has ascended into the highest heavens. Blessed be the name of Adonai. Blessed be the name of Adonai Yahweh. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Have your seat in the presence of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. We are looking at Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to 8. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to 18. Paul is writing to the believers in the church in Ephesus, who were referred to as the Ephesians. Paul is saying, finally, my brethren, finally, my brothers and my sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Not some, not few, but take unto you the whole armor, all the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, above all, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18 finally, it said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. The Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. This night we are talking about the armor of God. The armor of God. I want to let you know that even the poorest of all countries has soldiers. And there is no soldier in any nation that is whether significant or insignificant that will not have a uniform, that will not dress in their military attire. There is no soldier. There is no army that does not have a uniform. Imagine you begin to watch on CNN and you see American soldiers going to fight in Iraq or one of the Middle Eastern countries, and they are wearing polo and jersey, and they are carrying their gun. Imagine Israeli army fighting with ISIS and they are wearing boxers and singlets. It's a mad view. It's not possible. There is something they call armor. Every army has an armor to wear. The armor is not because you want to wear it, but because it is necessary.
Because if you don't wear it, you are standing in jeopardy. Paul is talking to the Ephesians church. He's saying, now you are in the commonwealth of God. Now you are found in the body of Christ. You should not be a civilian. There is a uniform you ought to wear. If you don't wear the uniform, it is not a civilian affair. It is not a joke we are into. Paul said, there is a battle going on. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is to say, there is a wrestling going on. For those of you that don't understand what wrestling means, there is a combat, there is a fight, there is a war going on. Paul is enlightening the church and telling them that a fight is going on for those that do not know. And the solution he is bringing to them is to put on the armor of God. Paul did not say there are five, there are six armors, but I want you to put three. And the other three, if you want to wear it, is your concern. But Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. I wish the people we were fighting were human soldiers. We will understand. The people we are fighting, they are not even American soldiers. They are not the soldiers of any country. They are not in flesh and blood. We are fighting against spirit entities. We are fighting against spirits that have existed more than 6,000 years. Spirits that are older than your ancestors. Spirits that have been existing even when they gave birth to you. The spirits we are fighting are not your age mates. Paul is saying, wherefore put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. If you're sitting here and thinking that the enemy is not shooting you arrow, you are daydreaming. If you're sitting here and thinking that the devil is not fighting you, you are in deception. I congratulate those who are in the faith in Christ and believe that the devil does not exist. I congratulate them. But I want to let you know that the devil exists. There are some people that think that spiritual manipulations are not real. That is a thing of the mind. I congratulate them. But I want to let you know that Paul is saying that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. If we were not fighting principalities, I will understand. He said, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. If you understand what Paul is talking about, he classified them into four rankings. One of these days, we are going to talk about the hierarchy of darkness. Four rankings after Satan. Principalities, one. Powers, two. Rulers of darkness, three. Then spiritual wickedness in high places, four. Principalities are those fallen angels. There are some angels that had seen all the glory that is in heaven. There are some angels that have seen Shekinah Kabod. They had encountered it. There are some angels that have accessed the ancient wisdom. Some angels that have seen things that you may not, you may never see until the day you cross over to eternity. Those angels that rebelled against God, they all fell down. But now they are fighting the believers, all who profess faith in Christ. They are fighting me and they are fighting you. If we are fighting only powers, I will understand. But Paul called principalities there. Powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. The powers are reporting to the principalities. Principalities, first of all, they report to Lucifer himself, Satan, the old dragon. Powers are reporting to the principalities. Then the rulers of darkness are reporting to the powers, and spiritual wickedness are reporting to these rulers of darkness. There are hierarchies in the realm of the spirits. The prince of Persia we talked about in the war of the heavenlies. War in the heavenlies. The prince of Persia is known as a principality. Was a principality governing Persia, influencing the hearts of the kings. A principality that I held in Jezreel and said, you are not going anywhere with this answer for Daniel's prayer. And they were combating 21 days. Paul is saying that these are the people we have a combat with. These are your enemies. These are your enemies. It's not that woman that is praying Akara. It's not that your neighbor by the side. These are the people we are fighting. So Paul is advising us today to put on the whole armor of God. you don't put on the whole armor of God, you are standing in danger. There is an ongoing battle against us, but many do not know. By spiritual dark forces in the heavenlies, you look up, you are looking at the cloud, you are seeing the sun. In the night, you are seeing the moon. You are not seeing any other thing. If God will open your eyes, if God will open your eyes to see ancient powers hanging, strategizing to see your downfall, you will remove that bedroom slippers. You go and wear rain boots. You go and you will not be walking barefooted again spiritually. If you know the kind of arrows they are shooting, that is why Paul is advising. Finally, my brethren, he had spoken every revelation he knows in the world to the Ephesians church. The part of the deepest revelations in the New Testament, you find them in Paul's letter to the Ephesians and Colossians. After all the rhema, after all the insights, Paul said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on, wear, array yourself with the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There is no man on earth that can stand the wiles of the devil if he does not put on the armor of God. Nothing else can preserve a man. Nothing else. There is no other technology. The only technology that has been authenticated by eternity is the armor of Yahweh, which he has given to us. Not few, but the whole armor of God. Tonight, by the special grace of God, we are going to look at all these armors of God as the Lord grants us utterance. The battle is against spirit entities, spiritual entities, not against material beings, as you are seeing. And what God is telling us here is because he wants to open our eyes and see what we ought to do. He said the sons of Issachar, they knew what to do. They knew the times, they understood the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. They understood the times. If you know the times you are living in, the times you are living in, they are more dangerous than when Paul existed. We are in the closing of the age. We are in the end of the end times. The program of mankind is about to be summarized, and the curtain will soon be shut. So it is more dangerous for us today than them who were alive in those days. That is why God is saying through Paul today. That's why God said through Paul, and is speaking to us today, to put on the whole armor of God. These armors of God we are talking about, if you can successfully put all of them on, no fallen angel can manipulate you or bring you down. Not even Lucifer. No demon can, if you can put all of them. The first armor of God we are looking at, look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins guard with truth. It's called the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Look at me, I'm wearing belt now. In that spiritual armor, there is a belt to wear. It's called the belt of truth. There were six armors Paul highlighted. There is the belt of truth, which is the first in what he highlighted. There is the breastplate of righteousness, number two. Mark it. Belt of truth, number one. Breastplate of righteousness, number two. The shoe of the gospel of peace, number three. The shield of faith, number four. You know what the shield is? The one that the soldiers use their hand to hold. So if the arrows are coming, they are dodging, they are hitting it and waging it. The shield of faith is in number four. The helmet of salvation is number five. And the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, is the number six. These are six armors. And we are going to break them down to a level that we are going to understand without much contradiction. There were six of them Paul highlighted here. So we want to look at the first of these armors. Paul called it the belt of truth in Ephesians 6 verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. I want to let you know that if I remove my belt here, my trouser will fall. Are you following me? If I remove my belt here, my trouser will fall. And when maybe they hear that there is a bomb blast somewhere and there's a pandemonium, people are running, I'll be holding my trouser like this with my hand. That's how I'll be running. Because I don't have my belt on. If you don't have your belt, you cannot stand. That's how you'll be. And there is a battle going on. It's a battle going on. And there are many of us that may not have known we don't have our belt or truth. Principalities are warring against us. There are so many moving here to fall in the realm of the spirit, but there is no belt of truth. The belt of truth is very simple. The belt of truth is very simple. What is truth? What is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth of God's word. The truth of God's word. Having on the belt of truth. Keeping aside the beliefs of human traditions. Keeping aside cultural perceptions. Things that are not in line with the word of truth. Keeping aside your personal belief. The word of God is saying something. You say, see the way me I believe. Oh. Not the way the word of God believes. If that is your manner, you don't have a belt of truth. Then you are in danger. The belt of truth, you keep tradition aside. Your culture says this is how we do it. When a man dies, they must sacrifice a ram. And the ram must, the blood must be spilled in the four corners of the man's compound. That is how tradition says it. But the word of God is saying he has liberated us from the vain conversations and traditions of our fathers by the precious blood of Jesus. Then now you are looking at it, and the natural mind is telling you, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Then you are going to do the ritual. Say, well, now so my people want that. This is how our culture is. And the word of God, when the word of God time, we do that. When it's culture time, we do this. You don't have the belt of truth. And that sacrifice you do, you are invoking spirits, invoking demonic forces to keep you spellbound and your generation. You don't have the belt of truth. Maybe a small thing, somebody tells you, instantly you have told a lie. You don't have the belt of truth. It is very simple. The first of the armors of God is the belt of truth. If God opens our eye in the spirit, you'll see many people here that don't have belts. Their spiritual trouser is just, these are they are forcing themselves. And they don't have an ability to express themselves. No movement spiritually. They can't move. You don't have your belt, so you cannot move properly. But Paul is advising us. The army that is fighting you is not Iraqi army. It's not Iranian army. It's not Jordan army. That maybe they don't know where you are today. The ones we are talking about, they move in the speed of light. Just in a second, they can be here. They monitor every child of God. They monitor the activities. And their purpose is to see that you fall. Paul is saying, stand therefore with the belt of truth. Stand, because what these powers are attempting to do is to see that you fall. How many of us here have our belt of truth? As we are looking at these armors one after the other, you begin to introspect and look at your life. Because why God is bringing this word is to make us better, not to condemn anybody, but to help us. Because we are in a warfare. We are in a battle, whether you like it or not. Those days when we are small, you will watch wrestling, you will see Undertaker and Hulk Hogan. They will put them in a cage fight. In that cage fight, nobody comes out until one person is declared a winner. That's the kind of fight you are, you know. You are in a battle with principalities and powers, and one person must win. One person must win. So if you're the type that you take your faith for granted, this word is coming as a witness. Let it be that you had it. So that you take heed to know that you are not fighting with little children. These are ancient powers. And this is the way out. Your belt of truth. Ask yourself, do I have the belt of truth? The belt of truth is what helps us to fight the lies of the devil. the lies of the devil that has held bound generations in deception. We are holding the truth, aligning ourselves and our actions with divine truth. Introspection one, do I have my belt of truth? A question for yourself. The next item Paul is talking about is the breastplate of righteousness. Look at it in verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. Right standing with God. The two kinds of righteousness, imputed and imparted righteousness. Imputed righteousness is that we merited nothing, but Christ, being in the form of God, died for our sins and put himself in our position and put us in his position. We were made right in God because of him, not because of our works. That is imputed righteousness. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Imputed righteousness. So the righteousness he has put in you, that garment of righteousness he has put in you, he now wants you to express it so that people around will see it, so that you'll be living right. Are you living right? The breastplate of, you know what the breastplate of righteousness is? They wear it like a jacket. The breastplate. The breastplate of righteousness is a picture of a bulletproof. Are you hearing me? And the major thing is to guard your heart. If not, an arrow can strike the person's heart and destroy the person. Breastplate of righteousness. When the devil comes to accuse you, you let him know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You let him know that you have a stand in God. If you read Ephesians 1:6, he said he has accepted us in the beloved. Who he has accepted in the beloved? That Ephesians 1:6 and Luke chapter 1 verse 28, they are the same thing. The same word there. Where he said, thou, Mary, you are highly favored. Angel Gabriel said that to Mary. You are highly favored. That highly favored, the exact Greek word for the highly favored, is the same thing they use here for acceptance in the beloved. So the exact way God had accepted Mary, the Virgin Mary, to give birth to Jesus, is the exact way he accepted you and I. There is no difference. The way she was found in the beloved is the same way we are found in the beloved. Nothing extra. So you are found in the beloved of the Father. So when the devil comes to want to make you feel like a riffraff, you let him know that you have been accepted, access granted in the beloved. That Christ has accepted you as you are. The breastplate of righteousness. Trusting in the finished work of Christ. That when an arrow has come and you are feeling it, an arrow of sickness and all of that, in the breastplate of righteousness, you look, you say, ah, he said, the word says, by his stripes I am healed. I am healed. I am standing right in divine healing. You are holding it, and the devil cannot destroy your heart. Many people don't have the breastplate of righteousness. The devil has, the forces of darkness have scattered their hearts, that they believe everything. It's because of lack of the breastplate of righteousness that many people go to commit suicide. A spirit entity will begin to whisper to their ears. A particular lady from Ghana told me that, Apostle, that she wants to tell me something I should not tell anybody. That a voice speaks to her that she hears it every time, that she should go and commit suicide. Every time the voice is that she is hearing it as we are talking, that she hears it as we talk. Say, go and commit suicide. That she's confused. There is no breastplate of righteousness. If you know what Christ has done for you on the cross, you will not even give in to such notions. Many people don't have the breastplate of righteousness, so the devil has scattered their hearts. Forces of darkness have scattered their hearts. In the other section of righteousness, which is imparted righteousness, is that you are reflecting the light you have drawn from the great light. You are reflecting a light that you are drawing from the great light, which is Christ himself. So when you come out, because righteousness has been imputed in you, you are now showing honesty. People see you in honesty. You are being sincere in your dealings. There is no two-face. It is expressed in goodness and benevolence. the breastplate of righteousness. You are living right with God. Ask yourself, do I have on the breastplate of righteousness? If I don't have righteousness, my heart will fail one day. If you don't have the... See, do you know what they call archers? Archers. Archers are, in those days, in the ancient days, archers are trained soldiers that stand on clefts. They stand on the top of mountains. They don't fight with swords. They fight with arrows. And their arrows, they don't miss targets. An archer can stay like this and see somebody that is 20 kilometers away and strike the person and still get the heart. They know where they shoot to kill. They don't shoot you in a place where you just be injured. They shoot you where you will die instantly. There are demonic archers hanging in the heavens to shoot arrows into people whose heart is not guarded. Your heart is not guarded. No breastplate of righteousness. How will you survive? Paul is saying, finally, my brethren, after all revelations, after all the miracles, after all the signs and the wonders, after all the exegesis of the old covenant to the new covenant, finally, put on the whole armor of God. The breastplate of righteousness. Knowing that Jesus has forgiven all your sins. And he's saying to you, go and sin no more. That is the breastplate of righteousness. Go and sin no more. The next point Paul is asking is the shoe for the preparation of the gospel of peace. Look at verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Have you seen a soldier that is walking barefooted with his gun? And you know that most of their battles they are fought in the jungles, in the deserts. You are fighting in places where scorpions are walking, you are walking on barefoot. Where serpents are moving, you are walking on barefoot. Where there are thorns and thistles all over the ground, and you are walking on barefoot. Your leg, you go wound. There is no soldier you see going to war with bedroom slippers or sandals. He's wearing his boots, safety boots. The kind of boot that even nails, it can even bend nail. And your foot shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why is it called the gospel of peace? Man is in enmity with God. Man, because of what he did in the Garden of Eden, became an enemy of God. But God provided a way, which is Jesus Christ. And through Christ, we are reconciled back to God. The gospel is called the gospel of peace because it's to bring peace between man and God. There was a separation between you and God. So the gospel, being the gospel of peace, is to unite you with the Father. Without being born again, you cannot be united with the Father. You are counted as an alien, as a foreigner, as a heathen that is walking into eternal damnation. But the gospel of peace is to unite. It's to unite you with the Father. The gospel of peace is to bring inner peace to men. How many people have you taken the gospel of peace to? How many persons have you taken the gospel of peace to? How often do you preach the gospel? How often do you preach the gospel? If you are the kind that does not preach the gospel, you don't have your shoe for the preparation of the gospel of peace. You are walking on 10 toes. See, the demonic archers we are talking about, they know the persons that don't have some armor. They know where somebody is. They know the armor you are lacking. And they will not shoot you that place you are having your armor. They will shoot that place you don't have your armor. This movie, I watched it long ago, Achilles. An ancient Grecian movie. Achilles, in those their Grecian stories, when they gave birth to him, the gods, in those their Grecian tales, the gods said to them, dip this child in the water. And when they dip the child to the water, they say it was to be immortalized. Nothing will penetrate his body. No bullet, no arrow whatsoever. But they did not dip his toes, his heels. They carried him upside down because of fear. So all the body part touched, only the heels. So when he went in the city of Troy, Achilles was killed. They shot him in the heels. And the story of Achilles was actually something that happened in ancient times. They shot him that place that was not baptized in the water. There is, check your dictionary, you will see Achilles heel. Achilles heel means your weak point. Your weak point. The devil knows that weak point is that place he will fire. And he does not miss targets. The Achilles heel is the weak point of that person. The ancient Roman soldiers was a picture of what Paul was using to minister to the Ephesian church. The ancient Roman soldiers, when they go for battle, even when they are sleeping, you can never see any of them remove their shoe. They sleep with their shoe. They can remove anything, but with their shoe, they are sleeping. They don't remove their shoe. No Roman soldier removes shoe because they are always ready, having in readiness. Because they know that they can hear a gunshot somewhere. They know that they can hear the cry of war somewhere and they are ready to run. Look at verse 15 again. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. With the preparation. Always prepare to preach the gospel of peace. The gospel we are talking about is called the gospel of peace. There is something that looks like the gospel that is preached today, but that is not the gospel of peace. The gospel we are talking about is not the one you tell people, come, God wants to make you a millionaire. That is not the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is not the one you are telling somebody that God is only interested in blessing you. No. The gospel is the gospel of peace. Reconciling the man back to God first in repentance. The man is reconciled. There are many that claim to preach the gospel on the satellites, on TVs, all over the world, on the internet, but yet they are not preaching the gospel of peace. People they are preaching to are still living in their immorality. No conversion. No regeneration. It's not the gospel of peace. When the gospel of peace enters you and when you have been converted, inside your heart you will feel at peace. Your conscience will no longer be flogging you because the things you did before you do them no more. That is when the gospel of peace has taken over. Paul said in readiness, the preparation of the gospel of peace. How many people do you take the gospel of peace to? How many persons can testify that look at this man, I came to peace with God because of what this man preached to me? How many people can point to you and say, I repented because of you? I repented because of the message you preached to me. How many souls have you won? He said, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as bright as the stars in heaven forever. That is the word of God. How many persons have you turned to the gospel of peace? The Samaritan woman, when she encountered Jesus, she ran into the city, calling everybody and say, come and see a man. Come and see a man. How many people have you told, come and see? Come and see Jesus. He has turned my life around. You know why you can't spread the gospel of peace? Because you are not yet at peace with God. You have not known him. If you have known him, you will talk about him. The Samaritan woman encountered Jesus and she could not stand it. She saw as she left, she was running, come and see. The Bible said the entire city went to see Jesus because of her testimony. You cannot give what you don't have. How can you preach when you have not yet converted? You will find out that you will look at your neighbors, you will say, oh, they know that my life is not in conformity. So what will I preach to them? And you know that you are not yet at peace. And as you are not yet at peace, as you are walking on your 10 toes, you are walking on danger zones. You can get injured any moment. The place you are walking on has scorpions. Has a scorpion stung you before? A woman told me from Botswana 2 days ago that a scorpion stung her at night. If a scorpion stings you, your brain will be turning. The pain is very frustrating. You are walking in the valleys and shadows of death and you are wearing bedroom slippers. No shoe for the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is a danger zone you are standing. As believers, the place we are treading on is on the valleys and shadows of death. Though I walk through the valleys and the shadows. And you want to walk on that with 10 toes? No gospel of peace. If you are not preaching the gospel, see, the Bible said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A peacemaker is the man that goes to make peace between man and God. It calls us ambassadors of the commonwealth of God. Ambassadors, restoring men back to God. And you are not a peacemaker. How can you be a child of God? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If you are not a peacemaker, you are not a child of God. You can go to church, dance your makosa, clap, give offerings, pay tithes, and yet you are not a peacemaker. Preparation for the gospel of peace. I know some persons that have said to me that they gave a message to somebody, the audio, and so, the person listening, and there is a change, this and that. That is part of the evangelism we are talking about. It's part of the evangelism. You cannot evangelize. You are not a child of God. You don't bear witness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Going to declare the mercy of God to people, you are being merciful to them because they are heading to eternal damnation. You are being merciful to preach the mercy of God to them. So you will obtain mercy. How will you obtain mercy when you are not merciful? You see the person by your side living in darkness and you are not preaching. May them perish like that. God will say you are not merciful. You cannot obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Are you putting on your shoe for peace? The Roman soldiers sleep with it. You are supposed to sleep. Even when you are sleeping, in your dream, you are evangelizing. You are awake evangelizing. You are sleeping evangelizing. Your life is evangelism. You're not getting me. Everything you do is witnessing Jesus. The disciples said, we cannot but speak of these things. Say, we have handled him, we have touched him. Paul said, we have handled, we have tasted this eternal life. It is in Christ Jesus. You cannot give it when you don't have it. There are occultists, opening men going about evangelizing, going to markets, meeting people in the markets to join their occult. Many occultists are moving on the social media. Some of them have even preached to me, their occultists, in that I should come and join their cult. They are evangelizing for their master Lucifer. They want to win souls for their master. And you are not winning souls for your master. Who are you serving? Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. If you cannot preach the gospel, something is wrong with you. If you cannot sponsor, if you cannot support and partner with the gospel to see that the gospel of Christ spreads, so that men will be delivered and rescued from doom, then I don't know what you are serving. In readiness for the gospel of peace. Because of time, we are going to rush this. We've talked about the belt of truth, number one, breastplate of righteousness, number two, gospel of peace, number three. Number four is the shield of faith. Paul is saying, above all of them, in verse 16, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith is to help you to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There are arrows shooting everywhere. If your eyes can open and you see the arrows they are shooting, you will take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Wherein the word of God said, God has promised and cannot lie. God is not the man that he can lie. You are having faith in God that what he promised you, he will perform it. You are not doubting. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That whosoever cometh to him must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The shield of faith. That God has promised me. I am suffering today, but I know that God will come through. I am walking through the valleys and shadows of death, but I know he is with me. I am walking through the waters. It shall not. It shall not overwhelm me. I shall not draw. I am walking through the fires. The fires will not burn me. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. That's what Job said. What are you passing through that Job did not pass through? The shield of faith. The devil is shooting you temptations. You are saying, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Nothing is entering. Nothing is penetrating. They will shoot and get frustrated and they will leave you. And before you know, you enter your rest. There is no man on earth that the devil will not shoot arrows. Even no matter how you are, as long as you have breath in your nostrils, the devil will shoot you arrows. And as long as you're serving the living God, the devil will shoot arrows. But do you have the shield of faith? How will you have the shield of faith when you don't have a relationship with the word of God? You don't know what the word of God promises. You don't know the promise of God. So what will you believe? Above all, the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. You know they call fiery darts arrows, archers. Boom, boom, they are shooting. Sporadic shooting. Sporadic. It is pouring like water. And the shield of faith is bringing all the arrows down. It's telling you, look at this God. Look at this God that said he loves you. See what you are passing through. He does not care. From the Bible, the shield of faith. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. The shield of faith does not send what is passing through. Many people don't have the shield of faith, so they have been consumed on the way. No way to drop down the arrows. You don't know the promises of God. You know more about updates in international news. You know about Man U and Chelsea. You know all the players, their names. You know when the club was formed. But you don't know anything in Genesis. How will you have the shield of faith? How will you have the shield of faith? Some people can tell you the date of birth of some football players. But they don't know where Jesus turned water to wine. How will you have the shield of faith? Your faith is in soccer. Some people's faith is in mammon. Some keep their faith in different places. But if you can have the shield of faith, faith that is in God, you will quench all the fiery darts. If any pastor, bishop, or pope tells you the devil is not shooting arrows, he does not like you. He does not like you. There are arrows that are being shot 24/7. And if you don't have your shield is that one you put on your hand. When they are shooting, you are waging it. Nothing is penetrating. Get a picture of the Roman army after this meeting. Look at the picture of the Roman army. When you see the shield, it is a solid metal. A solid metal that even if this bullet they are shooting today hits itself, it will grab it. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. Trusting God even in the face of setbacks, disappointments, insults. You are living by faith, because it is said that the just shall live by faith. And he said, whosoever draweth back, my spirit shall have no pleasure in him. If you draw back because of discouragement, he said the spirit shall have no pleasure in him. Look at verse 17. The number 5 armor. And take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. I think among all of them, the most dangerous one, if you don't put on, is the helmet of salvation. Even people that are riding Okada motorcycle in the street like this, in most cities, they tend to put helmets so that when they have accidents, their brain will be intact. Nothing will happen to their brain will not damage. Helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Look at proper American soldiers. They are mariners and all of that. They put on one helmet. You will not even see their face. It's the helmet you will see. The helmet you will see. Sophisticated helmet. Bible called it the helmet of salvation. If you are not saved, if you are not born again, your head can go at any time. Your head can go at any time. There are archers that will shoot. But if you have your helmet of salvation, the arrow will hit the helmet for. Boom, boom, not hit. You won't be sleeping, you will not know they are shooting. Helmet of salvation. Salvation. If you are not born again, you don't have the helmet of salvation. And you, the Spirit, bears witness in you whether you are born again. If you don't believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross. Do you know there are some people that don't believe that Jesus died on the cross? They come to church. In fact, there's a particular pastor. that said he's preaching because it's just religion, but he does not believe Jesus died. Yeah, what are you saying? There are many of them that have not even revealed themselves. Some people don't believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again. If you don't believe that, you are in the most dangerous estate a man can ever be. You don't believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. Some people say he never died for himself. Now me won't die for. There's a demonic revolution going on in Nigeria. People are going back to Judaism. Many of them don't believe that Jesus died. Judaism today, they don't believe Jesus died. They don't believe Jesus died for their sins and rose again. When you don't believe that, you are not saved. Forget church. Even inside you, you are doubting that Jesus died. You are not born again. The principles of salvation is to believe that Jesus died for your sins and that he resurrected on the third day. Some people don't believe Jesus resurrected. They say it's just religion. They know in their heart, but some people don't say that. If you are in that estate, if you are in the estate of being a Jew, you're practicing Judaism or atheism, you don't have the element of salvation, and you are at the mercy of God. You are at the point that at any time you can stop existing. If not for the mercy of God, the devil would have destroyed you before now. But the mercy of God is speaking to you today. That helmet of salvation. Jesus died and he resurrected. Seated at the right hand of God the Father. Far above principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in the world that is to come. He has put all things under his feet. And made himself to be head over all things for the church. Which is his body, is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He wants to fill nations with himself. He wants his glory to fill the nations. He wants his glory to fill you. The helmet of salvation. Do you have the helmet of salvation? I am not you, you are not me. Ask yourself, do you have the helmet of salvation? Are you saved? Forget the one that you follow people, come to church, dance, clap, sing. Do you have the helmet of salvation? Are you born again? Jesus said to the religious ruler, Nicodemus, one of the rulers of the synagogue. Nicodemus said, how can a man? He said, just except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can be a ruler of a synagogue, a bishop, general overseer, pope. If you are not born again, you have no hope of eternal life. You are doomed for eternity. Helmet of salvation. Ask yourself, where is my helmet? Hi. Now you begin to ask yourself, as you're listening to me seated here or wherever you are in the world, you are asking yourself, which of these armors am I missing? You write them down. Then you begin to work it out to see that you put on all the armors. If Paul say put on 3 armors, I will understand. If he say put on 1 armor, I will understand. But he say put on the whole armor. There is no one that is more important than the other that you will say you will not put on this one. If there is anyone you are missing, you will get injuries. Many people have been injured and many did not survive it. God does not want you to be injured. That is why God is speaking to you today. Helmet of salvation. Helmet for your own head. For your own head, to preserve your head. Take the helmet of salvation. Take it. It is free. Look at the scripture. Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet. Take it. It has been paid for. It is finished. You don't need to pay for it. It is not paid for like some of your prophets that you need to pay $10,000 to go and see them for counseling. He said, take the helmet of salvation. It is free. Any of them that is doing that, they are worshippers of Baal. They have not met the crucified Christ. He said, freely have you received, freely give. Take the helmet of salvation if you don't have it. It will help you. The enemy wants you to doubt Christ's finished work. To help your head. To help your mind. To help your mind, take the helmet of salvation. When you have the helmet of salvation, your mind becomes renewed. As you're studying the world, you're getting renewed. Things are changing in your mind. The last armor. and the soil
of the spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. I don't joke with the sword of the spirit. I will never declare a meeting like this and we come, I don't open the scripture for you. We will check the scripture line after line, precept upon precept, to see what the word is saying. Not teaching the traditions of man. Not bringing our own ideas and philosophies. It is not subjective. It is not based on my own revelation. It is objective. It is based on what God is saying. Based on facts of the word of life. Not based on feelings. The sword of the spirit is your offensive weapon for attack. It's your offensive weapon for attack. Paul said to the church in Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. What can pull down stronghold if not the word of God? It's only the word of God that can pull down stronghold in your life. What you need to change your life is the word of God, nothing else. When anointing oil will fail you, when miracle water will fail you, the word of God will not fail you. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. It's the word that is from the beginning. Before they started bringing some of those things that they are selling, $100, this and that, for merchandising people, the word had existed. When their merchandise will stop, the word will still be existing. That's why I don't believe that anybody that is selling miracle of, maybe they carry anointing oil that is normally like, let's say, $10, they are selling for you $100 at their own price. Those ones are witch doctors. Even that one you are using will not save you. What you need is the word of God. The sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Have you seen a soldier without a weapon? The sword is your weapon. If you know how you are compassed round about, you know how you are compassed. The psalmist said in Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with his wings, and under his father shall I take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. I shall not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence of the night, of the destruction that layeth waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand side, but they shall not come near me. Do you know the thousands of powers that are rounding to want to destroy you, and you don't have a weapon? Do you know the thousands of powers that want to bring you down, but you don't have a sword? What do you want to use to fight them? You want to use spoon? You want to use hanger to fight principalities? Or you want to use buckets? Or you want to use broom to fight principalities? 10,000 that are rounding you, there is a sword for them, and you are dropping your sword. And the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. If you don't have the word of God in you, you don't have the sword of the spirit. Some people are destitute of the word. The word of God is not in them. They are empty. When the devil comes to try them, what they are repeating is poem they are repeating. Oh God of my papa, God of my bishop, where are you? God of my overseer. The devil does not know those languages. And the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Even Jesus himself, when Satan came, Jesus did not say to Satan, do you know I am God? Don't you know I created you? Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Is it in you? Do you have the word of God in you? When principalities come cumbering you, you are saying, hey, my head, they don't know that language. The only language they know is the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Somebody pray in tongues for 1 minute. Maraka daba yabadosh. Sheke deke lege deke lege de. Lege deke deke lege deke lege dos. Rabba daba yabadosh.
Dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the bones and the marrow, in the center of the intents of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God created the world by his word. The word of God that has come to you today You are going to cry to heaven and say, Lord, any armor that I'm missing, help me, O God. Can you cry to God? Lord, any armor I am missing, deliver to me. Deliver to me. Deliver the armors to me.
If you continue praying, just pass the offering basket round. Pass the offering basket round so that we close very fast. The spirit of intercession is here, and if we continue praying, we will not stop. As you're casting your offering, be asking God that every of your armor that is lost, you are gaining it tonight. Somebody cry to God. My armor. Where is my armor? Where are my armor? Shaka. Shaka. Da ba 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 la ta na. Ta ma na ma na. Ta ta ma na ma na. Ta. Ta ta na ma na ma na ma na. Ta. Hey.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray.